Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you are a holy God. Thank you, Lord, as we sit in your presence, just here right now, we can sense the holiness of our God. And I pray, Father, as we yield ourselves to you over this next short time, and we listen to the word and we listen to what you have to say, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak, that you will minister, that you will challenge, that you will bless, that you will encourage, and Lord, most of all, that you will draw people to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, worship team. Isn't it great to be able to worship God? Isn't it great to be in the house of God? Isn't it great to be here and be able to worship him and exalt him and share together and fellowship together? I love it. I'm going to be reading this morning from Romans, Book of Romans. A well-known portion of Scripture, Book of Romans chapter 8, portion of Scripture you'll all know. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. I want to speak a wee minute or two this morning about the adopted life. This is one of my favorite portions of the Scripture. This is something that I really get encouraged by and blessed through as at different times in my life. I love what the Bible teaches about the assurance of our relationship with God. I love that. I love what the Bible brings to the believer, and that we can turn to the Word of God whenever we need to turn to the Word of God, and we can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And these words are words of encouragement, and we can go to these words and call on them whenever we need them. So I want to look at these verses this morning, and I want us to try and understand what it actually means to be a person who is born again in the Spirit of God and part of the family of God. I sometimes just sit and wonder. People say I'm wondering half the time, but sometimes I just sit and wonder why God could even love me. Why could God, who is a loving, caring God, even begin to love somebody like me and bring me into a relationship? And a relationship with God is an amazing thing. You know, going to church is great. Great to go to church. But going to church doesn't save you. It really doesn't. People who are baptized, baptism doesn't save you. Taking communion doesn't save you. The only thing, the only person who can save you is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the bottom line is that irrespective of what we might come to church to hear or to have our ears tickled and all that sort of stuff, that's great, great in its place. But the reality is that we have a message, and the message is a message of the gospel, and the gospel message is that we need to be in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So having a good relationship with Jesus is simply coming to a place where you understand and you accept that the Bible is truth, and that the risen Son of God died for your sins, that he died to save you, that he died to bring you into a relationship. And Cafe Explorer, we're studying the whole Bible. We started in Genesis. We're now in, last week, we're in Mark. We went through the whole thing. And 26 weeks, I think, we've been at it so far in the one topic. But It's an amazing journey of how God created man and woman. He placed them in the garden. He wanted fellowship with them. He wanted them to share together. He wanted them to have companionship. And yet sin entered in and broke that relationship. And it was only through Christ that that relationship could be restored. So if we are in Christ this morning, we have had restoration of that relationship. And having a relationship with God goes a lot further than just maybe praying a prayer and asking Christ into your life or making a decision. That relationship with God requires a walk with God. God wants to take us on a journey. He wants us to be walking with Him and talking with Him the same way as He did with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So we're going to look at some steps of that relationship this morning and why we need to enter into that relationship. And entering into that relationship makes us part of the family of God. And it's the most amazing experience to be part of the family of God, to be part of this great family, for you are not, you who are led by the Spirit of God, you are the children of God. We are adopted into a new family. And in order to understand that totally and fully, we need to look at our lives before adoption, what it was like before we were adopted into the family of God. But time wasn't allowed to do that. So it's sufficient to say that Jesus, whenever Jesus comes into a life, that life is spiritually not in a good place. It's not in good shape. That's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. I talk to a lot of people about salvation, and one of the things that some people tend to say is, you think because you're a Christian, you're better than us. No, the reality is, the reason I got saved because I wasn't good. I recognized I wasn't good. I didn't get saved because I was good. I recognized I wasn't good. I recognized I wasn't in that right place with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in many ways that the Old Testament points that to us, the Ten Commandments. In the Ten Commandments, we are guilty and condemned. That's the place we are at, guilty and condemned. And in many ways, the Ten Commandments are like a mirror. We look at the Ten Commandments and we see our sin before God. It's like you. Most of you looked in the mirror this morning before you came out. You fixed your hair. You dressed, I was going to say properly, but somebody's thinking, I'm not probably dressed properly, so that's not the right word. You dressed. You looked and made sure everything was looking good, or well, as good as it can be, before you come out. You do that by looking in the mirror. You get a reflection of yourself. The Ten Commandments reflects our life, but it reflects our life as sin. But here's the most amazing thing. The most amazing thing. That even in my sin, even in how I was, the Lord Jesus Christ still loved me. And I find that amazing. I just find that so amazing this morning that in the midst of all that garbage that a person picks up in their life, the Lord Jesus Christ still loves you. No matter where you've been, what you have done, He still loves you. That's powerful. So the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, through that, we have been afforded an opportunity to come into a relationship with God. And as belonging to any family, a family brings responsibility. A new family brings responsibility. There's duties maybe in a new family. There's new opportunities in a new family. But that family, you will take on a whole new way of life and take on the life of that family. And that's what it's like coming into the body of Christ. Not coming to church, but coming into the body of Christ, the family of God. You take on a whole new way of life. Your life would change. Paul talks about our lives being changed. And there's nothing negative or controlling about that. It's really amazing that God can take messed up, screwed up people and change and transform them. Colossians 3:10, it says, we have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its creator. So this new self that we find in Christ is continually being renewed. We are continually, if you're a believer this morning, you're continually being renewed. You know, sometimes people make a decision for Christ and then 3 or 4 weeks later they make some mistake and they screw up and they mess up. And sometimes Christians are very quick to judge that person, very quick to judge them and say, oh, they can't be saved at all. No, the reality is that they're like you or me. They're on a journey. They're on a journey. And sometimes that journey is good. And sometimes in that journey, you will screw up and you will mess up. But that, does that stop God loving me? No. God's grace, God's love, and God's mercy are forever there for you and I. Hallelujah. That's great. The key word, though, is trust in Christ. Trust in Christ. Not being a church member, not being baptized, not being a good person, but only trust in Christ. That is the only thing that really, really matters in life. And often amazes me how God can take some messed up and screwed up people and transform their lives into different people. I love watching a person come into Christ, a new believer. God rebuked me. I'll tell you a story. God rebuked me one time. We were up in the prison and we were doing some work. And there was a man in the prison and we had been talking to him. Norman had been talking to him over a long period of time. And this day, this man sat down at the side of his wee bed and he prayed and he asked the Lord Jesus Christ into his life. Now, this man has a history, a real history. And I remember thinking this, I wouldn't have said it to him, I remember thinking this, God, you have your work cut out with that boy. I remember thinking that. And as quick as a flash, as quick as that, God said to me, I had my work cut out with you. Nobody's any different. We are all the same. No matter what we've done, you could be good living, you're still the same. You're still in that same place with God if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Remember being asked to go to a house up the road many years ago. This man and his wife were having a bad time and it was a wee bit of violence in the house and there was drugs and that involved and I was asked to go and talk to this couple. So I went up to the house, knocked the door, into the house, started to talk to them about Jesus. And they were in a mess. Their lives were in an absolute mess. But when you go to talk about Jesus, you have to have faith that the Lord Jesus Christ can change that mess. And during that night and during that conversation, that couple prayed and asked the Lord into their lives. And they were in a mess. And got called back within a time or two. They got settled into a church eventually. And I hadn't seen them for, maybe 20 years. Living in the town here, still living in the town. And I was speaking at a church not that far away from here. And I was introduced to this man who came up and threw his arms around me. Remember when you're able to hug? He threw his arms around me. I've nearly stopped hugging the wife at the minute for you're not afraid to hug anybody. He threw his arms around me and he said, Wallace, how are you? And it was him. And 20 years later, his life had gone from unemployment, never worked, drug addiction, abusive marriage, a messed up, screwed up life. And this day is a leading light in a local church here in Ballymena. How did that happen? That happened because he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't dependent on religion. He wasn't dependent on anything else. He gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the difference that Christ makes. Trust in Christ. See, Paul makes it very clear in his teachings that there should be a demarcation line between the believer and the unbeliever. He's very specific in telling us that a change takes place when we come to Christ. That change is, in fact, very often evidence that we have come to Christ. That's the evidence of us coming to Christ. And we should act in different ways. We should desire new things. We should hunger after God. And life should take on a whole new meaning. In fact, it tells us that the unregenerate person, the unsaved person, is subject to the law of the flesh. In other words, you'll do what the flesh calls you to do. And he also says that those of us who are saved are subject to the power of the Spirit, that we will do what the Spirit of God tells us to do. And a very simple example of that is as our own human nature, if you like. Before I was a Christian, I could have done things, awful things actually, And never felt bad about it, never thought a thing about it. It wouldn't have cost me a thought to do some of the things that I did, because I had no sense of conviction. There was nothing there to convict me, so there wasn't. But after you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit now lives in your life. And whenever you or I do something wrong or say something that we shouldn't have said, immediately the Holy Spirit is in there and He convicts you. You know what I mean? He convicts you. You hear this voice in your head, you shouldn't have done that, you shouldn't have said that, get it put right. And the Holy Spirit draws us back into line. That's His job, not just making a decision, but allowing the Holy Spirit to draw us into line, to keep us in line. And as we journey through life, He will do that. He will continually draw us back into line. And that's a good thing. Thank God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing experience, to be convicted of the Holy Spirit. And if He's telling you you're doing something wrong, you are in a good place. That's great if that is happening to your life. But the other side of that coin is that sometimes we forget about living for Him, and we do it more and more, we sin more and more, and the more we sin, the less the conviction, and that's a really dangerous place for us to be. As I say, the Holy Spirit not only draws us to God, but He keeps us in Christ. So, as part of that family, we then become the children of God. He's our Father, and I love this. So back to the verse, if you're led by the Spirit of God and accept God's love, you become a child of God. Now think about that for a moment or two. A child of God. I was chairing on Wednesday night. I love birds, wee birds. Anybody else like wee birds? How's the earbud? I love wee birds, and I have feeders all over the backyard. And the wee birds come and they eat my nuts. And some of them are really, really fussy. Really fussy. The birds, a wee lesson for you here. Birds particularly like, and the name of them is just clean out of my head, they're black, wee black seeds. And sunflower seeds. They love them. And I filled up one of my things with sunflower seeds. And they go and 20 minutes, it'll be gone. But I have these other seeds that I was looking rid of. And I put them in, I thought, I'll mix them with the sunflower seeds. Well, birds are not stupid. The birds come up and they go, pss, pss, sunflower seed. They spit the other ones out. They take them out of the holder because they don't like them. They just totally disregard them, so they do. And they're all the same. And you see the bigger birds nearly teaching the weeer birds to do that because they're part of their family. And whenever we enter any family, and especially the family of God, we become this child of God. But you watch that, those birds, and I often be amazed at the things that they can do. And I don't know anybody's ever trained them, but their nature is to do that. You look at the stars in the sky, millions of stars in the sky, and you think the God who created this universe holds those stars in the sky. You look at the waves crashing against the rocks, and you think those waves can only come so far. They'll only come as far as God allows them. Nature is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but the God who created that nature and takes care of that nature takes care of you and I. He is the same God, and how His love extends to us. We are now part of His creation. So as a child of God, if God can do that for birds and sea and nature, if God can do that for all of those things, then He, the author of creation, can look after you and me. He can take care of your tomorrow. You and I don't need to worry about tomorrow because God is tomorrow in the palm of His hand. You and I don't need to worry about what's going to happen next month or next year. You don't need to go to a person to get your palm read or read your horoscopes. You don't need any of those things. You don't need to worry about tomorrow because God has tomorrow in the palm of His hand. His word even teaches that. And sometimes we get so messed up in our lives and we fail to forget that God is in control. As a child of God, we have a new nature, Ephesians 4 and 24, to put on a new self, created to be like God and true righteousness and holiness. Being a child of God causes us to contemplate these things. And as we heard a few weeks ago, we should reflect on him and our lives. The other thing that happens is we're set free from the power of fear. Free in God. You and I, who are saved this morning, are free in God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Now, I'm not naive enough to know to believe that everybody who's saved has no problems and issues in life. Of course you have problems and issues in life. Things happen. The world's real. Stuff happens. You have sick children. You lose your job. You take sick yourself. Stuff happens. We have issues in life. But as a Christian, if you're saved, you need to realize that we have been adopted into God's family. And because of that, through that process of adoption, he has taken away the fear from us. So many people today are living in fear. So many people who profess to be saved are living in fear. And we need to learn that fear is not of God. Fear is a lack of faith. Fear is from the devil. And we need to learn as a believer that we need to trust in him and trust in him more. You see, remember in the boat in the Sea of Galilee, the Lord Jesus Christ was in the middle of a storm with the disciples. They knew what it was. These were fishermen. They knew what it was to be in that storm. They knew what a storm was like. And yet they were fearful because the storm was so great. Jesus was in the storm with them. And we need to always remember that no matter what your storm might be, if you are a believer, the Lord Jesus Christ is in that storm with you. Come unto me, all your heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Jesus says. And one of the things that the devil often uses against us is condemnation, that we feel as if we're not good enough. And funnily, after the meeting, first service, I was talking to somebody who God spoke that right into their lives, this sense that I'm not good enough. We are good enough in Christ. We don't need to struggle. God has a plan for you. And no matter what you're feeling like at the minute, God sees you where you can be. God doesn't necessarily see you just now. And I was sharing a story about a fella. Whenever I was at Bible college, there was this fella, and he was nervous. Okay, he was a good creator and good crack, you know, but he was really nervous, you know. If you're in the library, that's literally happened. He's sitting down looking at a book in the library, and somebody came in and stood beside him, and he nearly had kittens. He just scared the living daylights out of him. Well, you know, when you get somebody with a wee weakness like that, you have to draw it out of them. Well, it was continually getting drawn out until one of the boys one night had a great idea that they would put a vacuum cleaner below his bed in his dormitory. And so they did. The vacuum cleaner in below the bed. We bored a wee hole through a wall into the next room in the bedroom. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, my mate switched the vacuum cleaner on. Well, luck. You'd have heard him in Cork. You see that fella? He was nervous and fearful. But that fella, we watched him change. God got a grip on his life, and he always said he would never be any good at anything. He couldn't talk to people. He couldn't witness to people. He ended up flying out the door to talk to people. He ended up going to people's houses and onto the streets and into pubs and talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. His life just took on a whole new meaning as a result of a vacuum cleaner. Just took on a whole new meaning. He ended up in a ministry that is a really risky ministry. But that happened to him because he gave God control of his life. He allowed God to take control of his life. We heard recently about the Apostle Paul, about the battles that he has had in his life. And some of the experiences that he has had, and yet some of the greatest teachings we have in the Word of God come from the Apostle Paul. You see, Paul realized this. he was no longer a slave. He was no longer being held down by the plans and purposes of the devil. He had been set free through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear was no longer gripping his life. Fear was defeated at the cross of Calvary. What does Isaiah say in 43? Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And can I encourage you this morning, if you are saved in here, don't allow the enemy to keep you down. Don't allow Satan to hold you back or hold you down. You might have a dream in your heart of something you would love to do, but because of fear, you don't allow yourself to do it. I want to tell you, go and do it. What's the worst that can happen? Just go and do it. You're not going to die as a result of it. Just go and do it. Allow the Holy Spirit to take you into places that you have never been. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring into your life a whole new platform, if you like. You don't know what you're capable of until you hand your life totally over to God. So don't allow fear to control you. And in conclusion, let me say this. In order to enjoy this adoption, in order to enjoy what we have been talking about here, we need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It all begins by being adopted into that family of God. That all begins by us yielding ourselves and surrendering ourselves into relationship with Jesus. Not just about going to church, this. It's about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a personal relationship. And what happens as we surrender to Christ, the adopted person, and Paul's day, he talked about the adoption, and he was particularly talking about the Roman act of adoption. The adopted person lost all their rights to his or her and family and vice versa. Whenever we are adopted into the family of God, we are adopted into new family where we have legitimate rights to the new family. That in turn allowed the adopted person to become a legal heir to the father's estate. And if you're saved this morning, you're a legal heir to what God has in front of you. Someday, where none of us are going to be here, but someday some of us are going to be in the glory of God. We're going to be in heaven with the Lord. But that only takes place if we allow Christ to be part of our lives. And lo, the old life was of the adopted person was completely wiped out. All debts were paid. All crimes were cancelled. Everything was done away with. There was no longer any connection with the old life. And the Word of God talks about us being born again and old things passing away and all things become new. That's what happens whenever a person comes to Christ. And you might be a non-believer here this morning and you might be saying, I don't know what I could do to get into a relationship with God. The only thing you have to do to get into a relationship with God is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And He will do the rest. And then lo, whenever that person was adopted, there was absolutely no doubt that they became the son or daughter of a new family. Folks, this morning, Galatians 3 and 26, it says, so in Christ Jesus, you're children of God through faith. If we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become a child of God. All things will pass away, 2 Corinthians, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, 1 Peter, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. This is what God offers us in the adopted life. He offers that to you and to me this morning. Many of us are enjoying this adopted life. Some of you who are still not in the family of God, maybe some of you listening online who are maybe still not in the family of God, God wants you to know this morning that He loves you. No matter who you are, what you have done, where you have been, God loves you beyond anything you could ever possibly imagine. Let's pray. So Lord, we just thank You this morning for that great love that You have. A love that knows no boundaries. A love that extends to the very parts of our lives that nobody knows anything about. And Lord, there'll be people in here this morning, and yes, they're good people. They don't do anybody any harm. They go to church and they live good lives, and yet they're not in a relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, this morning that your Holy Spirit will speak. And I pray that you will draw men, women, and young people to yourself. I pray, Father God, for those of us who are your children this morning, Lord, help us not to be bound by fear. Help us to realize this morning that we have been set free from the power of fear because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you'll help us to live our lives that demonstrate that we don't live in fear. I pray you'll give us a boldness and a strength and a tenacity to serve you and hold on for you and promote your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that you'll draw us closer every day as we travel on this journey with you. In Jesus' name, amen.